Welcome to Pep and Ched with Megan Nash, a co-production with the Creative City Center in Regina, Saskatchewan. This is the podcast where I call up friends and we talk about touring, we talk about snacks, and anything, everything in between. Today is part one of a two-episode special featuring some of my nearest and dearest friends, Bears in Hazenmoor. For those of you who may not know, I've been collaborating with Bears in Hazenmoor in some way, shape, or form for 5 years now. So I was thinking, how can I pick just one member of that project to talk to on the podcast? I can't do that. I can't pick just one person. So I need to have everybody on the podcast, including Kelsey Chabot, who is the artist behind a lot of posters and album art and single art over the years. So we're going to chat with her as well. So in today's episode, I'm going to speak with Dalton Lamb, Darnell Stewart, and Tanner Wilhelm Hale. And then next week, I'll be speaking with Dana Rempel, Brady Frank, and Kelsey Chabot. Isn't that fun? These episodes mean a lot to me because I feel like I'm creating this little time capsule of memories with my good friends. And this is just a real pleasure. And I appreciate you for listening. So let's get right to it. Today's first guest is Dalton Lamb from Bears in Hazenmoor. All right, my friend Dalton Lamb, thank you so much for joining me on my podcast about touring and snacks. Thank you.
Of course. I didn't think I'd have to respond. That was weird. Whoops.
No, very good. Very good. Very appropriate start. When I think about touring and when I think about snacks, I do, like, you are probably like you're the first person that comes to my mind, because I feel like you take touring snacks very seriously. I feel like I've expressed this to you before, that I think you are a very like kind-hearted, generous person. You are the person that buys all the snacks and then shares with everybody. Like, you do that so much. That's very nice of you.
Yeah, I don't know. I just, it feels weird to me when people are left out, even if, like, they're, you know, they probably don't care, but I just, like, feel really sad when people don't, get to enjoy the same things as me.
Aww.
So I'll just, like, feed them weird stuff, and, they won't like it, but it's, I think they'll like it, so, I don't know, weird.
I feel like the snack choices you bring in the van are usually pretty good, but I do have to bring up the one story of when this is the first time I toured with you guys, I'm pretty sure. We went to Central Canada and back, and at Niagara Falls, you bought a bag of salmon and brought it into the van.
Yep. That was terrible. Immediately when I opened the package, I was like, this is going to smell bad. Why did I bring this onto the van? So I was like, I'm going to cover myself so no one can smell it. So I put on like this banana costume, because it was during like the tour in October. So Halloween was close, I think. So I put that banana costume on and I thought it would shield the smell from everyone else. But immediately Dana's like, what is that smell? And, yeah, I'm hiding in this yellow costume trying to eat in shame.
and it wasn't like it was dry salmon, like it was kind of wet still, right? So you're eating this bag of wet salmon in a banana costume in the van, trying your hardest to be considerate and keep the smell, but you were it wasn't successful, but you tried, and that's honorable.
Yeah, I don't know about that. That was disgraceful.
But that tour, though, was so much fun. And I remember, yes, you did have the banana costume on. I can't remember if you had it on when we were going across the border, because for the listeners at home, like, we that tour, I think both times we went underneath the Great Lakes to get to Central Canada. Yeah, we didn't go through Northern Ontario. We went underneath the Great Lakes to save some time. And also the highways are, you know, a bit better, if you will. And I feel like, were you wearing the banana costume when we had to go through the border? Or did you decide to change?
No, I think we all changed because we didn't want to risk like getting turned around. It's like, imagine how dumb it would be to lose a tour because some idiot was wearing a banana costume.
And I think, and did Tanner have a minion costume with him too on that tour?
Yeah. That was a bit, because like minions love bananas, so Tanner kept chasing me around. Very silly.
That's very good. I remember we played Peterborough. I'm pretty sure it was like it must have been on actual Halloween, and we were playing in this tiny venue. I really love that space. Sometimes though, it can just be hard to get folks out. And I remember there was like nobody in the room, and so we decided to like go try to get people to come to our show. And you were wearing the banana costume, and I'm pretty sure we went to like another bar, which I don't know if I'd recommend that practice of going into another establishment and saying, hey, leave, come to this one. But we went and we bought a shot. I remember we did like a shot or something.
Yeah.
And then after we left that bar. That. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No. Keep going.
And after we left that bar, then you wearing the banana costume saw another banana on the street.
Yep.
And then that banana came to the show.
Yeah, well, like, it was Halloween, so everyone was dressed up, and I locked eyes with this banana across the street, and I was, like, screaming, hey, that's a banana, and we ran up to him and asked if him and his friends wanted to come to our show. They eventually did, stayed for, like, I think 5 songs and then left, but still. Got an audience, I guess. That was pretty fun.
You know, actually, and what's interesting about that is I have since returned to that venue, and the person dressed as a banana, I can't remember his name, but he has come to other shows and like is a he's actual, like, he's a fan of both of our bands. Like, it's amazing.
Awesome.
Yeah. So that's a grassroots way of building an audience. 101. Wear a banana costume, and the other bananas will come.
Yeah.
Is how that old adage goes. So on that tour, we also got stuck in a drive-through. Was that a memorable experience for you as well? I did the wrong thing in that. I ordered fish nuggets.
Yeah. I don't know, those little niche items, it's pretty risky sometimes because they might not be as good because they're probably sitting in the deep freezer, and also it just like takes longer to cook. But this is the White Castle you're talking about, or
we had just played in Windsor, Ontario, and then we had to drive back to Regina,
right? And I remember being on the highway, I forget who was driving, probably Dana, and I was I think it was like one of the first times I'd been through the States, and I really wanted to try a White Castle, but it was 4 in the morning. I think I had been planning for this. I knew that we were going to pass through a specific state that had a White Castle, and it was 15 minutes out of the way. So we had to drive off the main highway, and we had to do a bit of detouring, but I think we eventually got there. 4 in the morning, we got to the drive-thru. We all order our food, and I think there was one person working. And it took almost 40 minutes for our food to be ready. I don't remember much details of it. Didn't Tanner... Tanner got in his minion costume, ran outside, did a bunch of weird stuff. I don't know. Oh, I forgot about this. So after we had ordered our food and drove away, we all started eating in the van, smelled terrible, and then we all passed out because it's super late and the driver still driving, obviously. And I remember waking up in like 5 hours, daylight, pretty hot out. Everyone in the van was completely silent, and I immediately reach under my seat, and I had saved one White Castle sandwich, and I started eating it to everyone's disgust. They were like, "What? That's disgusting." Very wild.
You know, I regret not getting the White Castle burger. Like, that's the thing you're supposed to get. And I ended up getting fish nuggets, and then everyone's fries tasted like fish nuggets because they were made in the same thing. Fry? Like, that was my bad. That was totally my bad. Like that's a hot tour tip. Don't get the fish nuggets from White Castle, especially if your friends just want to have some nice fries.
That's right. Cross contamination.
Yeah, totally. And I remember on that tour as well, you did the home stretch, actually. I've talked about that already on this tour. Like, I'm pretty sure you did the last bit of driving to Regina on that. Like, when we did the Windsor to Regina, like, rotating drivers and people taking rests, like sleeping in the van or whatever. And I remember I was supposed to be the person in the front seat making sure that you were okay, like, the other person awake. And I remember I kept dozing off, and then Dalton, are you okay? Like, I probably was asking you if you were okay, like, every 5 minutes, and you were totally fine. I think you were listening to a Bon Iver record, and you were having a nice moment, and I felt really bad because I wasn't a good friend.
No, it's all good. I remember that, actually. I think about that quite a bit. I don't remember you falling asleep that much. But I remember listening to, I think, Bon Iver, so, like, his second record, just being so at peace with myself. I was just like, this is beautiful. The stars look so nice. And then I remember asking you just weird, you know, when you get in that state of mind when you're super overtired, it's really late at night, and you just start saying things that make no sense. I don't know. Hard to explain. But yeah, I just kept asking you, man, Megan, imagine if, like, you could see Saturn and it was, like, right in front of us. And you were like, what is he talking about? This is a weird... And that was, like, the first time we really, like, hung out, right?
Yeah. Wait, yeah. You don't think I was, like, on the same level with you? I think that is a totally valid question.
Yeah. I don't know. I just remember saying a bunch of stuff, and I was like... That none of that made any sense. Why did I ask for that?
If I didn't reply to a question like that, it was totally because I was a bad co-pilot and I was asleep.
Just like falling asleep.
Yeah. But I think about that a lot with the moon. I'm like, what if the moon was just like super close?
Yeah. How cool would that look?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I'm on the same page with you.
Yeah.
When you have to, what is your actual like go-to snack when you are touring besides bags of fish?
Wet salmon. I really like wine gums, like Maynard wine gums.
Yeah,
those aren't too sweet. They're, I don't know, very good flavor, very good texture. It's just nice to chew on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I remember eating a whole bag before a show, and I was so, like, burnt out for the show. I just had such a bad sugar crash.
Oh.
But, yeah. Really good snack.
I can't remember this about you, Dalton. If you were, like, are you always, like, a snack post-show?
Like, yeah, I love...
Yeah.
I love eating after a show. It just feels like a nice reward. And also, because, like... Dana always did it. Darnell always did it, so I followed in their footsteps. It's a nice little like activity everyone does together. So
yeah. Yeah, totally. Do you have like a favorite tour meal? Like, is there a tour meal that you're like that you're reminiscing and you think about, especially during these times when we can't be touring?
Oh man. I think we might have talked, or not us, but Bears, we were reminiscing about this place in Ottawa, but we were all walking through downtown Ottawa. It was super late at night, I think like 11 p.m. I guess that's not super late, but we were just walking through. We were pretty hungry. We had nowhere to go. We were just like hanging out, and we walk across this like hand pulled noodle place. And they were about to close, but we went in because we were bad people. But yeah, we got our food. That was just a really nice time. First time I had ever been in Ottawa. Yeah. Sorry, I should be more descriptive about that, but it's not very.
No.
It's a nice memory in my mind.
No, that's nice. That's sweet. And I think those like those memories of getting late night food after a show was just like, Oh, I just miss that so much. I miss going to restaurants with friends post show. That is so nice. I miss drive-thrus too. I do think about this a lot though. I think about how many times we've eaten food in the dark in the van afterwards. And I always like, you know, when you just like see people post about like, look what I found on my burger. It's like, wow, I've never noticed anything.
Yeah. You just eat it, right?
Cause I'm just eating like, in the dark. Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't matter. It's all, stuff. It's all matter.
It's all, yeah, it doesn't matter. It's all matter. So if you could pick, like one of your top favorite shows, do you have one? Or if you want to go this route, like what makes a show memorable for you?
Definitely just like how the band feels, like how the people I'm playing with feels.
Yeah.
Because like I've played shows where there's like lots and lots of people, but it just doesn't feel that good. It feels like we're disconnected from the audience, or someone's not, you know, feeling it. Someone's kind of down, and that doesn't feel too good. But yeah, the best shows is when everyone's like really into it, and you can feel everyone into the music, everyone in the audience, everyone in the band. I remember one time we played with another band called Eagle Lake Owls. This was their final show. Their like farewell show, and I remember everyone was just so into the music and really like smiling, laughing. I remember that band closed the night with a cover of Chicago by Sufjan Stevens, and I did not know the lyrics at all, but I was just screaming whatever the just, you know, when you're screaming fake lyrics and it's kind of embarrassing but you're doing it anyway.
Oh yeah, I've made a career of it.
Oh yeah. But yeah, that was probably one of my favorite memories. The other one was also another farewell show. It was the Middle Coast. This was their last show, and same thing, just like everyone was so into it. I remember just like screaming on stage and screaming in like in a happy way, you know.
Yeah. Oh, very good. Very good. Well, Dalton, it's been such a treat to talk to you, my friend. I look forward to the day where we can share a pack of wine gums.
Oh, yes. That'd be awesome. I can't wait.
Dalton, thank you so much for the conversation, my friend. Next up, we have Darnell Stewart. Okay, I'm joined by Darnell Stewart, guitarist and friend. He plays in Bears and Hazelmoor. He plays in my band. You teach music. You're a very good musician, Darnell. I'm going on the record and saying that.
Thank you. It's about time that somebody says so.
Well, and this is very public too, so.
Extremely public.
So I was wondering if we could get right into it. Are you willing to share with us the tale of the pigeon and the chicken?
Yeah, it sounds like one of Aesop's fables, doesn't it?
Well, I feel like one day you will illustrate this and it will be a children's book. But we could maybe pre-sale starting today. But, you know, you tell the story first and let's see how endearing this will come across.
Okay, the pigeon and the chicken refers to when we were on... I was going to say we were on tour, but the reality was that we flew to England to play 30 minutes at a showcase festival, and which is kind of seems silly in retrospect. And at the time was maybe, but it was really fun and we did it. And anyway, so we were playing in London, and in the borough Hackney. So we were staying at a hotel and wandering around. We had a couple of days before the showcase, and we were just kind of wandering around the streets. And there's a lot of chicken shops around, I think, in London generally, but in that area specifically, there was a few. There was one called Perfect Chicken, which did, as you recall, did not have perfect chicken.
No.
So there was lots of, let's say, like debris and litter on the streets, and some of it was chicken related. So there was one afternoon where myself and Dana Rempel and Tanner Wilhelm Hale were walking. I don't know if you were there.
I missed this, and let me tell you, I will live with this regret for the rest of my life.
Right. I think what happened was that you were doing something professional, business related, and the three of us were boys are out on the town in London, let's go get some food and see the sights. So we were walking on the street, on the sidewalk, and just in front of me, Dana is walking ahead of me, but at this one moment, we both see a pigeon walking on the sidewalk with a really big chicken compared to its body, a really big chicken drumstick with plenty of meat still on it in its beak, just kind of hopping around and really proud of itself. And at that exact moment, Dana looks around in complete shock and goes, "Oh." And we were both like, pigeons eat all kinds of garbage all the time. That's just what they do. But for the two of us, it was too close. It was like, I can't see this. And I just couldn't unsee this. It's like, that's you. You're eating you. And birds eat birds all the time. But that was like, it just got to me in a way that I cannot see. And I think most of it is the reaction of Dana looking so disgusted at it and surprised, because this bird is just having a really good picnic. There you go. And that's the tale of the pigeon and the chicken.
Which I think would be a great illustrated children's book, I think. I don't know if we're going to mute my mic for that, or if you're going to hear my shake laughing. I'm covering my mouth to try not, but it cracks me up. Thank you so much for sharing that story. And you know what? When I was first starting the podcast, one of the first guests was Forrest Eagle Speaker from the North Sound. Mm. And I told him we showcased in London. And I was saying this out of a way of like being kind of self-deprecating, like, can you believe we made this business decision to go all the way to London for 30 minutes? And he said, that sounds like he said it sounded very glamorous. And now, if he listens to this episode, he will know just how glamorous it got.
It was pretty grimy.
Fun show, though.
The opposite of glamorous.
That was a fun set.
Absolutely one of the best shows that I've ever had the honor and privilege of playing. It was really fun.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a really fun set.
And I would do it again.
Oh, I would too. And you know what? Let me tell you, I've been missing that. And that's actually one of those shows that I fondly look back. I messaged you guys the one day and I was like, I'm just so grateful that we did that. At the time, I thought, what are we doing? But wow, am I so grateful that we did that. Do you remember anything, any snacks that you had in particular in London that you were really excited about?
Oh, it was the Turkish food.
Yeah.
Like the doner, and the Turkish bread that they had was really nice. Like this really kind of like, it was like a really fluffy pita, thick kind of thing. I have photos on my phone of eating the same meal, like all of the same ingredients in different form factors a number of times at this one particular Turkish like sandwich and like doner place. And it's like rice and it's peppers and it's the meat, the chicken or lamb or beef, and just like all these kind of like nice salad and sauces in it, and either eating it on a plate or eating it as a wrap in a sandwich. And I had to have various ways of getting it into my body.
We also had really nice ramen on that trip, I believe.
Yeah, there was a nice little place that we ate at a couple of times. I've had some pretty good ramen in the UK. I had some good stuff in Scotland in 2019 when I was there.
I have a photo of you at the ramen place in London, still on my phone, and you are sitting in the booth with a bowl of ramen, and then you have your hand open, and in the palm of your hand you have loose change. And I sometimes just look at that photo and go, those were the days, you know, loose change.
Yeah, that's such a days gone by, you know. It's I haven't touched a pound coin in quite some time, let alone a quarter.
I know. I have a $5 or 5 pound note on my fridge, just tacked on there, just waiting. That's my budget for my next UK trip, basically. But I just can't wait until we can go over there and see what the pigeons are up to. Well, Darnell,
see what they're eating now.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. We actually need to take a little bit of a break. Would you do me the honors?
Sure. Darnell Stewart, Pep and Shed Podcast, Saskatoon. More after the break.
You've been listening to Pep and Shed with Megan Nash, and today you're getting a 3-in-1 deal. I've been speaking with members of Bears and Hazelmark, Dalton Lamb, Darnell Stewart, and Tanner Wilhelm Hale. Let's jump back into the conversation I'm having with Darnell Stewart. He plays guitar. All right. Well, Darnell, you've toured internationally. You've toured a lot in Canada as well, not only with me, but also with Bears. And I want to know, like, what's one of your favorite tours that you've done in Canada?
One of them would definitely have to be the joint Bears and Nash tour that we did to the Northwest Territories.
Mm-hmm.
And that was in 2017. And it's memorable for a lot of reasons, because we got to play Folk on the Rocks, which is one of my favorite festivals that I've ever performed at. It was so much fun. The scenery is absolutely stunning. The people were really great, and it was so much fun. The food was really good. Everything about it was so much fun, including the journey there. Because we were performing in places like Fort Providence, where we had to play. We would do, as Bears, we would play 2-hour-long sets, and then we would do Back You Up with 2-hour-long sets right after. So we'd play for just the people in the little wood-paneled bar, and that was really fun. On the way to the Northwest Territories, we of course had to drive through Alberta, kind of leaving from Edmonton. So we spent that night at a relative of Tanner's, and that was like our jumping off point to drive from Edmonton and then go on north. And so we get ready to leave, start packing the van in that morning, and we end up further down the road, and we realize that we had forgotten Tanner's bag of clothes in the garage at the house that we were staying at, and all of his clothes were just gone, or a great number of his personal belongings. I think it was mostly clothes. So we ended up going to Peace River?
I think so.
Salvation Army, and buying him a new wardrobe. And Kelsey was along, so she like lent him a pair of pants, mm-hmm. or shorts, or it's like that kind of thing. So that was already we're off to a good start. So he needed some I need some shirts and stuff to play and live my life. But Dalton, I'll never forget this as long as I live. Dalton Lamb, friend, confidant, trumpet player, lover of food also, he purchased at the Peace River Sally Ann a set of scrubs, like dental hygienist nurse scrubs that were pure white. And he wore them when we went to go, what's that town that's really close to the Northwest Territories border that's got a Boston Pizza? Big River? Or no, that's High Level.
High Level. Okay, I was just about to bring up Google Maps, but yeah, yeah, you're right. High Level, yes.
And there we were walking from our hotel to go eat at Boston Pizza that night, and Dalton was wearing these pure white scrubs with his long flowing hair at the time, just wandering in the street, and looked like, I don't know what that image was.
Probably, but Crocs on too, right?
Oh, yes.
And,
yeah, pink
and
Crocs.
I think we were walking to the Boston Pizza, which was kind of on like an industrial road. Like, I remember,
right.
You remember we were kind of like, we were out there walking to this Boston Pizza down from the hotel. And wow, you're right. That would have been a bit of a goofy image. And because also, like, not only are we a bunch of, like, you know, tourists walking through, mm-hmm. Maybe we'd been pre-drinking. We were having a bit of fun that night, and also that was our first time. I feel like that was our first time exploring the midnight sun. Remember, it was still really light.
Yeah, it was that was the moment where you noticed it was really light out.
Yeah,
at 9 at night or 8:30, and it was really quite bright. That it was shocking, and so then you have this image of a man wearing these scrubs that with this disheveled hair and pink Crocs. It was, and then it gets weirder from there. Like, that's just kind of the tip of it, but
you're setting the scene at this point.
Yeah. And I mean, like, so moving on to actually playing at Folk on the Rocks in Yellowknife, we get put up at the really nice hotel that was brand new at the time. And this is like, I think, the story proper. It's, you needed to know in advance that some of us had purchased weird clothing and were maybe not comfortable in it. But anyway, I'll cut to it. We were having a good time and kind of, I don't know what night it was, but we were in somebody's hotel room. We had a number of rooms. I think we had two or three rooms, right?
Yeah.
And so we were all congregating in one person's room, and Tanner, was it the night of his birthday?
Maybe.
We were all laughing and in quite a state when Tanner, in his like clothes that he had purchased previously, went into this hotel room like closet right by the door with a bottle of wine and was spilling it on himself and may or may not have been in a state of total undress, as we were just completely shocked and laughing so much that when we got a noise complaint, finally, from the hotel, a staff member came to the door, and we were laughing so much at this weird scenario that was happening, that all of us hid like under the bed and or like beside tables or underneath tables, like, oh no, we're caught. And we all hid, and Brady was like, come on, guys. And when he went and answered the door, and he was like, oh,
so goofy. You know, like, I feel like we're really respectful people, and like, we're really grateful for hotels and gigs, and we weren't doing anything destructive, but let me tell you, we were like kids at a sleepover giggling. Like, that's what was happening.
Sleepover energy.
Oh, big exactly. Time. And Tanner was performing. He's a Leo son, you know. He was full on performing, and we were all there for it. We were very supportive of him and his mm-hmm. decisions, and we were giggling. And then when that parental authoritative figure came knocking at the door, we hid. As grown adults, we hid underneath like the beds, like
yeah, like bugs scattering when the lights turn on.
I forgot about this story, and oh my gosh, we were cry laughing, and that is such a nice memory. Darnell, what's your go-to snack in Canada?
I think Dana's gonna laugh at me, but I really like coconut water.
Yeah, me too.
I like a coconut water on the road. I don't know why. I just feel like it hydrates you in a way that doesn't maybe make you feel disgusting. Because you drink a lot of coffee when you're in the van and that kind of thing. Carbonated water is actually a really big one. So much so that I think that when we're able to, I'm going to bring my SodaStream on the road. And it's just going to sit, you know, right next to me in the van seats. And I'm just going to be going... Every now and again, when we're driving through Northern Ontario, just you'll hear that.
Well, my friend, I look forward to the day where you can have some of that spicy water driving through Northern Ontario.
I love a spicy water. I'm a big beverage guy on the road. Yeah. Food, though, I do like a pep and ched because it's you know, what you need sometimes.
Did you hear that? Did you get that sound bite, McSweeney's? There's your next ad. Because it's what you need.
You know, it's just, it cuts to the chase. You've got the meat, you got the cheese. Sometimes you can get the spicy one. That's really good. I'm down to have any kind of thing to munch on while we're on the road. I really enjoy snacking in all of its many forms.
Well, I'm with you on that. Well, I've enjoyed this conversation, Darnell. Thank you so much, friend.
Thank you for having me.
Darnell, thank you so much for the conversation. Next up, we have Tanner Wilhelm Hale.
Welcome back to Pep and Shed with your host, Tanner Wilhelm Hale. Always has been, always will be. The show where we talk about snacks and touring and everything in between. We're here with our first and only guest, Megan Nash. And you may know her from such songs as Deerhead and others. First, I wanted to ask you, who is your least favorite member of Bears and Hazelmore and why?
In this moment? Well, his name starts with a T because he's stealing my show.
Tarnell?
Tarnell, Tana, Telsey, Tatey, and Tanner. And Tana.
Who's your least favorite and why is it Dana?
Oh dear. You know what? When I first started this podcast, I thought this is the kind of energy I want to put out into the world. Like, this is it. This is it. Yeah. Tanner Wilhelm Hale, what a pleasure to talk to you in such a formal setting.
Yeah. We've never done this.
We've never talked in a formal setting.
Had a formal conversation.
Yeah, no, we haven't. I was talking to Darnell earlier, and he was mentioning that when we went up north, you left your bag of clothes at your cousin's house in Edmonton. And then you went thrift store shopping for new clothes.
Yeah, I bought a nice loose pair of shorts that I still wear. Bought a lot of trash that I still like. And then we got back to Edmonton, and I was relieved to have some clean clothes, and I also had a bottle of wine in my bag, as you do when you tour. And so somewhere along the line, when my cousin was moving it, the bottle broke, and all my clothes were covered in red wine. Classic tour story.
Yeah.
Happens to everyone.
Classic tour story. And you know what was so fun about that tour, going up to Yellowknife and back? And we did drive a lot of bands that played Folk on the Rocks. I'm not trying to, you know, brag or anything, but I think we were one of the few that drove. There were only a handful, a couple others that.
Yeah. Boots in the Hoots.
Yeah. Boots in the Hoots. They also drove. And so we played some venues along the way. We played in Hay River, and we also played in Fort Providence. And we had to do the four sets at Fort Providence. And I don't know how it happened, but the people who owned the place found out that it was like your birthday on the way back or something.
Yeah, I don't remember why that came up, but we was like, because I think they brought up that it was like they wanted us to come back first. Maybe they were like, you know, you could come back on your way back through and play again. And we were like, well, yeah, we can come back Monday. That's Tanner's birthday. Maybe it came up like that.
Yeah.
I got really excited. And so after playing Yellowknife, we came back through and they gave me a cake.
Yeah.
With a bunch of shots in it. A bunch of like test tube vials full of alcohol. And we love to talk about alcohol on this podcast.
Yeah, you just can't swear. And if you swear, Shiloh censors you.
Uh-huh. That sounds fun. Maybe I'll swear. So that was my, nice birthday.
What I loved about that is that they were like, oh, you know, they really enjoyed the night of music. And it's on your way back if you want to play through or stop again. And then it's like, well, actually, it's Tanner's birthday. And then they got really excited and made you a really great cake. And I felt like we could have left you there. You could have started a new life and you would have been fine. Like you would have been like,
yeah.
Like we should have probably left you there because that's like where you should live. I feel like I've toured before where I'm like, man, I need to find a place to live on this tour. I've actually been in that situation where I'm like, I need to find a new place and this tour is going to help me figure this out. And you could have started a new life in the Northwest Territories.
Yeah, I think they could have used me as a live-in drummer.
No.
With a band, but doesn't have a drummer.
Oh, yeah. Maybe when other bands try to book there, they say, oh, we're a four piece. And then the venue would say, oh, no, you only need to be a three piece. We have a live-in drummer.
Yeah, leave your drummer at home.
Yeah.
We don't need him. He's, when we got a guy and he's itching for a gig.
Oh, very good. Well, out of all the touring that we've done in Canada, and this could be like you touring with me or just with Bears or whoever. What do you think in Canada has been like your favorite, one of your favorite shows ever?
I really loved playing Gateway when we, have you talked about that with anyone?
No, we haven't.
I think that's a fond memory, but I didn't have to sing for an hour and a half straight. Where we, there was like power problems with the main stage, right? And so the scheduling was weird and they were like throwing people on and then like, okay, well you can go on for like 15 minutes while we get this fixed and that. And then it worked out so that we just kept playing. And that was the end of that Northwest Territories tour, right?
Yeah.
So we had like we had those four sets from that bar show on my birthday ready. So we had all this music and we were like, they just were like, we'll tell you when to leave when the main stage is ready. And after every song, we'd look at Jeff and he'd be like, one more, the stage manager. And so it was just like a fun, exciting energy because it was like every song was our last song. Because we were like, they might be calling us off after this song. We'd look at Jeff and he'd be like, one more. And be like, okay, what else do we got? Do another cover.
Yeah.
And we ended up playing for like, I don't know how long it was. It was a really long time.
I feel like it felt like a really long time because I think initially they thought they would only need us for like 20 minutes and then it ended up being closer to an hour or something. And it was hard for me because I don't have too many like upbeat songs. So I remember when we played Shania Twain, Who's Bed Have Your Boots Been Under, which just like went over really well with the Gateway crowd. And it felt like, okay, like let's end this and now. And I looked over and Jeff did the whole like one more song signal. And Jeff's lovely, by the way, like he, but my heart sank.
I think we front loaded that set because we thought we'd only have 20 minutes. Yeah. So it's like, let's do all of our bangers. And then it was like, okay, now a Vampire after 40 minutes.
I know. And it's like, it's in the beer gardens and it's like people are ready to party and we're like flesh and bone, you know, like just like this slow burning tune. Yeah, I don't know. But you know what? I agree. That was fun. It is a fond memory, but wow, was that ever like stressful at the time? But you know what? It also felt, I felt this sense of, I don't know if like pride's the right word, but it was like, it was cool that we had that much material prepared that we were actually able to do that. Like, I remember I did leave at one point. I was like, I got to get off the stage because I don't know what else to play. And you got, and like Bears played a song. And I think they were ready to go. But it's like, we really played a lot of music and it was nice that we were in a position where we could help out like that because, you know, we love Gateway and the folks making it happen. So yeah, that was nice.
Yeah, it was a new one. anyone's fault there. It was just, yeah, I felt like that too. It was nice that we could help out. And I don't know, I like playing on stage. So we got to do a really long set of Gateway. It was exciting for me.
Yeah, yeah. No, that was such a special tour. That was back in 2017. I don't think we mentioned that.
What else?
You know what? Can we talk about the time that, right, what happened? Can we talk about what happened around the Seeker album release?
Heal Them Bones?
Can I mention that? Can we talk about this? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I was on the road somewhere, I swear. And I got a call from you. And I said, hello. And then you said...
I don't remember exactly how it said, but I said, I broke my wrist. I'm probably not going to be able to play the album release show next weekend because I fell at a bar and broke my wrist. Is that what you remember me saying?
Yeah, and you know what? My initial response was just like, wow, this is like so bad. This is going to be such a funny story down the road. Like, I was also like genuinely concerned about like your pain level and like how it was going to heal and everything. I was. Yeah. And then also like, yeah, you did the best thing that somebody can do in that situation. So you like, you found someone to fill in for you like right away. So I wasn't really stressed out.
Made sure I called Steve Lydell before I even called you.
Yeah.
Had a replacement. I was like, Steve said he could do it. Steve was the real hero there because he was on tour with the Belle Plaine and Blake Wirgland, right? And he like learned all the songs in the van.
Right. Right.
So, shout out to Steve.
Yeah. And then you still performed at the Mae Wilson that night for the Seeker album release. This was in February 2018. And we wanted you to get better. I wanted you to get better, and this is how I show my love. Aggressively.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a nice surprise that night that I had no idea. They wrote a little song for me called Heal Them Bones.
Yeah.
So I think a couple times throughout the show, you like called me to the front of the stage, and they played the Heal Them Bones theme, and you fed me chocolate milk and broccoli. And I had no idea this was happening. You guys, because I remember you guys, we were rehearsing in my basement, and you were like, we should have donuts. Tanner, go buy donuts. And I was like, go buy some treats from Safeway. And I didn't think anything of it, but that's when you, like, learned the song, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I was driving one day, and I had this melody in my head, and then I sent a little voice memo to Brady, and then he put together the arrangement, the Heal Them Bones arrangement. I wish we had that recorded somewhere, but... Oh well.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like it felt like a game show theme song.
Oh, that's my dream.
Yeah. It was kind of fun. I got to play a little synth. My cast was a really good like percussive tool for when I was playing tambourine because I could just like hit my tambourine as hard as I wanted on my cast.
I don't
know if that's doctor recommended.
I was just gonna say, is that recommended? Yeah.
Yeah. But it worked well. I could really get a good accent.
Yeah.
Smacking it on my wrist.
Yeah.
And I got fed on stage. That never happens. Broccoli and chocolate milk.
And I feel like there was maybe smoked tofu or something else too.
Mm, yeah, yeah.
Like slabs of smoked tofu. And that was at the Mae Wilson Theater too. So I love the contrast of like that space being so beautiful and like, I don't know. There's like a vibe there, and then we're doing like this very goofy thing on stage.
Yeah,
that was fun. You know what?
Yeah,
maybe the fact you broke your wrist was a bit of a blessing.
Yeah, you know, might get arthritis in 10 years, but it was fun.
I say that, and I am joking. Just stop typing that angry email right now, dear listener. I am joking. I wish that Tanner hadn't broke his wrist, but I'm just saying, you know, when the wrists get broken, the friends get singing. And
life gives you a broken list. Make chocolate milk and broccoli.
And tofu. And eat it on stage. What is your favorite snack when you tour?
Probably broccoli, tofu, and chocolate milk. Just a big, in a big bowl.
All together.
Yeah. Hmm. Maybe you can get a microwave at a gas station and heat it all up. Oh boy. You got hot chocolate, broccoli, tofu.
John Dale actually MC'd that show too, and he was the one that was bringing the food out to you, I'm pretty sure. He's the one who suggested broccoli, because I ran the idea by him, and he was like, oh, you should get broccoli, there's a ton of calcium. And then he also is a big advocate for using the gas station's microwave. So nice callback to the John Dale episode, Tanner.
Yeah, and I remember him being, he wanted broccoli and tofu because he was like, chocolate milk isn't good for your bones. I didn't really know what he was talking about. I remember him like telling me about that backstage and me being like, oh, okay. But then this summer I had an update on that from my friend Sage, who's like, I don't know, went to school for stuff, nutritional stuff, and was like, the calcium in milk isn't like bioavailable for your body to like absorb. So it's actually not good. And I was like, oh, John was right. I didn't understand at the time.
Oh, spicy. I didn't know that. Yeah. What about? Okay, no, never mind. I'll Google this stuff on my own time here.
Yeah. No, let's talk about science. Unqualified nutrition advice.
Well, we do a lot of that on this podcast. And I say, but at the end of the day, though, this podcast, we do talk a lot about snacks. And and I hope at the end of the day, I'm trying to discourage folks from putting morality on food, such as good or bad, because what you eat does not make you good or bad. And there's fun food and there's nourishing food, and it's going to be different for everybody. Sure. When we were in the UK, what was your favorite snack in the UK? I have a photo of you cuddled up to like 24 bags of meat flavored chips, but I know that wasn't your favorite snack.
No. I don't know. They had a veggie burger at McDonald's, which they don't have here. I don't remember it being all that good. But that was kind of nice.
If you had to give somebody advice, if someone is going to tour for the first time, what would your advice for them be?
I think it's, I always like that we kind of naturally, when we show up at a place, we don't have to be together all the time. I think that's healthy. As much as we all love each other and are best friends. And it's like, if you show up at a city and you want to just go for a walk by yourself, I think that's nice. I think being cooped up with anyone 24 hours a day could be hard. And, you know, it's nice to have some alone time. So don't feel like you have to do everything together.
Yeah.
Not the most uplifting advice.
No, that's smart. I think it makes a big difference, and I appreciate that. And I know you're talking about everybody except me, so I don't take offense to this at all.
Go off with your one friend in the band, Megan, and ditch all the other Bears and Hayes and Lore guys.
Well, Tanner, I look forward to the day that we can ditch all the other Bears and Hazenmore guys and go for a walk around the block.
Yeah. Well, thanks for coming on my podcast, Megan. It's a real pleasure to have you.
Well, hey, anytime. It's been an honor to be a guest. And you know what? Long-time listener, first-time caller. You've been listening to Pep and Ched with Megan Nash, a co-production with the Creative City Center in Regina, Saskatchewan, and you just heard episode 1 of a 2-episode special on Bears and Hazelmore. Thank you so much to Dalton, Darnell, and Tanner for today's conversation, and be sure to check out next week's episode as I catch up with more friends. In the meantime, check out Bears and Hazelmore at bearsandhazelmore.ca. This is a co-production with the Creative City Centre in Regina, Saskatchewan, and we've got some people to thank. The Creative City Centre is supported by the Canada Council for the Arts, Sask Arts, the City of Regina, Canadian Heritage, and Creative Saskatchewan. And this podcast is made possible because of the ongoing support of these agencies in spite of everything that's going on in this pandemic-fatigued world we live in. Special thank you to the Garys for the music. The Creative City Centre is a community-based arts centre that used to present around 200 events a year and gave a lot of emerging artists a home as they were starting out. Now they are a home for a lot of online productions, so check out creativecitycenter.ca to see what else they are cooking up besides all of this Pep and Ched with me, Megan Nash. Support live music, folks, no matter what form it's served up in. Okay, bye-bye.